tangled with a line. Always assume an overhead power line is energized and dangerous. A safety message brought to you by Montana Dakota Utilities, in the community to serve.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning. Welcome to this Monday edition of Public Pulse. Quite chilly out there this morning. And, you know, owning and operating your own business is a challenge amid COVID-19 guidelines, variances, and exceptions. And it's a bit of a relief to know that you've got the Chamber of Commerce out there giving small business owners an advocate. And this morning I'm joined by Dixie Johnson, CEO of Sheridan County Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, Dixie.
Good morning, Floyd. How are you?
I'm doing very well this morning. And starting off, let's go ahead and talk about some of the chamber programs that are current that people can become involved in.
Right. So thanks, Floyd. And this is our first time to have the opportunity and the pleasure to visit on Public Pulse. So welcome to Shared Media from the Chamber. We've been doing Public Pulse, been on every month, or I have since I started in my job back in 2011. So it's nice to get to know you, and I look forward to working with you.
Well, thank you very much, and same to you.
Thank you. So typically, we are on Public Pulse every month, and it's usually the week of our chamber lunch program, which, of course, as you know, because of the COVID-19 crisis, we have basically put on hold. I mean, we will hopefully have the opportunity to have a lunch program, you know, maybe in a new way in the near future. But this would normally be our week for our chamber lunch program. Of course, this month has been canceled, as has business after hours and business before hours. But we've continued to operate, work a lot with our small businesses, and adapt a little bit by standing up a few new programs. One of them I wanted to just share with you is called our Business Connect Peer Group. We have actually Business Connect Peer Groups going on, and we have Nonprofit Connect Peer Groups going on, and those are programs that we set up under our Business Retention and Expansion Committee.
Now, with those Business Connect Peer Groups, what are they discussing? What can, if we were to join, what am I to look forward to?
Well, you know, it's interesting because each one of them is unique. So we started our first Business Connect Peer Group on April 8th, and it wasn't a totally new program for the Chamber. We had had previous programs. One of them was called Business Owner Sharing Solutions. That was years ago, even before I started with the Chamber. And then we revamped that, and for a couple years back, I think in 2014 and 15, we had these business-to-business peer groups that were meeting in person. Well, now our Business Connect groups are meeting virtually, so utilizing virtual platforms, and yet they're in facilitated type of an environment. So what it does is it brings together an opportunity for business people, many in similar positions with their companies, many business owners, managers, supervisors, to connect with others here in the community in a facilitated environment to really kind of share resources, talk about best practices, maybe even share some challenges and problem solve around those challenges. And it's been really, really exciting to see these people connect. Many of them in similar industries, but not all of our Business Connect groups have similar industries participating. But it's really interesting to see them connect and problem solve and be able to kind of be a part of that. We've had the great support of both Peak Consulting and the Wyoming Technology Business Center. They were the ones who initially stepped up and partnered with the Chamber to provide the Business Connect groups. And then the Center for a Vital Community has come on as a partner for our Nonprofit Connect groups.
And what do the nonprofits really discuss? Kind of the same thing, tips and tricks, maybe fundraisers that have worked and not worked?
You know, it's kind of all over the board, and they typically discuss whatever they want to. So our facilitators find out from those participants what kind of is keeping them up at night, what topics are they dealing with, what would they like to discuss, or what resources can we help provide for them. And so it can be anything. With our nonprofits, they're suffering, many of them are suffering, just like everybody in our community. I mean, I don't think there's anybody who isn't feeling impacted and affected by this pandemic. And so they have some unique challenges, unique opportunities, and so those discussions really center around what the participants are wanting and needing to discuss during their meetings. And so we have six groups that are meeting every single week, and it's keeping it's really great. It's keeping us very busy, and it's really, again, really neat to see kind of the progression that these groups are seeing as they're working their way through and facing new challenges and seeing new opportunities as well.
Now, with these variances that have allowed us to start opening up certain businesses at this time, we're looking at continuing statewide public health orders. How is the Chamber of Commerce supporting that and going from business to business? Because each business may have to deal with something just a little bit different.
You know, absolutely. And everybody does have their own unique challenges, and that's something that we're very aware of. So when we first kind of started experiencing more of the drawback, the shutdown, the schools closing, et cetera, which changed everything back in March. I remember the day was March 11th. It was at our chamber lunch when we received word that we had the first COVID-19 positive case in Sheridan County. And so that really was the pivotal day that everything changed for us. We started, we knew that we had to kind of, again, Pivot's the big word right there, out there right now, kind of a buzzword. But look at doing some things, maybe not differently, but what we could do to meet the needs of our business community. So we started getting on the phone. We have had, with my staff, board members, volunteers, but primarily my staff has been calling all of our businesses, visiting with them, finding out what challenges they have, what maybe some opportunities, what innovative ideas they've come up with in operating their business, and really tried to be there to identify areas that we can advocate for them. And then on the flip side of that, so there is the Sheridan County has our county health officer and the incident management team, and they have been doing an outstanding job meeting and really trying to meet the needs of our community, keeping the best interests of our community at heart, both the health, safety, but also the economy. I mean, those are all really important priorities. So the Chamber of Commerce and myself, I started participating on those incident management team meetings more as that voice of local business. We are the largest voice of local business throughout Sheridan County, and so we were pleased to be able to be a part of that and help kind of provide that voice of business through the planning subcommittee process tied into the incident management team. And the variances and all of that have been involved at least to some capacity and weighing in on those. But I do want to give credit to all of those people at the county, our county commissioners, the mayor, police chief, the sheriff, the county health officer, and our county public health, county attorney, everybody that's been involved with helping, draft the variances, but also listening to those of us who've shared, some of the other challenges that some of our businesses are facing based on what we're hearing.
And well, great challenge breeds great innovation and motivation. And
yeah, we're seeing that. Absolutely.
Now, what are some of the resources that a business can reach out and get right now during this time?
Well, we have really increased our communications here at the Chamber of Commerce. So we're communicating with members of the Chamber every single week, usually 2 to 3 times a week. We have a newsletter that goes out early in the week, just a little bit earlier. We did send out the county health, the the county health order, the variance that goes into effect today for bars and restaurants, and that's good news to see some phase kind of reopening and allow those businesses to, you know, expand their offerings and get back to not quite normal, but start getting back to more of a normal operations that's so needed. So we have been doing that. We also have a resource site on our homepage on our chamber website, which is SheridanWyomingChamber.org. And there on the homepage, you can just click on COVID-19 Business Resources. So we've provided sessions with Susan Yerke, who's with the Small Business Development Center, to our members. We've sent out information on the PPP and the EIDL loans and helped really communicate some of the other seminars and webinars that have been offered through the Small Business Administration, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the Wyoming Department of Workforce Services, the Wyoming Business Council, et cetera. And there have been a lot. We were talking just last week about something called Zoom fatigue and how it's interesting and it's affecting so many people because there's so many opportunities to be on virtual meetings and webinars and stay plugged in on a continuous basis.
I couldn't even imagine having to sit in front of a computer all day long. Just to sit in front of a computer all day long.
You know, it's definitely interesting, but it's great that so many people have really embraced those virtual meetings. And now, like, all of our Business Connect groups are meeting virtually. My board of directors, our meetings are virtually. And we're looking to partner. In fact, we're setting up a new training opportunity for chamber members and Downtown Sheridan Association members. We're going to partner with them on providing some online training for our small businesses. And so, Floyd, when we were talking about the Business Connect groups, what we're hearing from one of our retail Business Connect groups, a lot of them have taken this opportunity with the slower economy, with social distancing, and some of them have kept their doors open, some of them have closed their doors, but they've taken the opportunity to really look at setting up their products online. And so we want to be able to offer some information and share resources to help other businesses get their products online as well, because we know that that's a whole new market possibly, and while people are shopping a little bit more online, we still want them to shop locally. So this would be a great thing if you're not able to get out and shop. There's a lot of businesses locally, and there are going to be even more that have their products available online.
And so amid this crisis, we may actually find a little bit of a gem in there where businesses can expand.
Absolutely. And many of them have wanted to do that anyway, and that's what we're hearing. A lot of them just never, you know, they were like, oh, I just never took the time. So this kind of allowed many of our business people to really work on their business, to really examine their business, do their own SWOT analysis, look for additional opportunities, and innovate. And we've seen so many different businesses innovate. You know, look, case in point, look at some of our restaurants and what they've done to be able to, not just the curbside service, but many of them have started offering delivery service, take and bake meals and that type of thing. And there's just a lot of examples out there in our community. We have an outstanding business community and a lot of innovative people and a lot of people who really care a lot about not only their businesses, but our community overall.
That's one reason I absolutely love Sheridan. It's time that we're going to take a quick commercial break. And we will come back. We'll have a little bit more with Dixie Johnson from the Sheridan Chamber of Commerce. Right here, 930 KROE.
Sell that vehicle hassle-free. Put money in the bank today from Hammer Chevrolet, Troy Baker.
Bob, if you have an extra vehicle and you want to turn it into cash, then come see us. We are looking to buy all makes and models. There's a huge demand for pre-owned vehicles right now. Once we inspect your vehicle and verify its condition, we'll give you a check the same day. So if you just want to sell your vehicle, we're ready to buy it.
The fast, safe, and fair alternative to a trade-in or a private sale. Get cash today. Hammer Chevrolet, 107 East Alger. Online, hammerchevy.com.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threat. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed. Also, the Army National Guard's education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wyoming Army National Guard. Aired by the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Did you know you can listen to this radio station on your phone or computer? Sheridan Media is now live streaming most of our radio stations. So if you don't have a radio handy, just go to SheridanMedia.com, find the radio station you want to listen to, click on the link, and turn up the volume. Each station is current local news, weather, sports, and more. You can take your favorite Sheridan Media radio station wherever you go. Our web stream sponsors include Best Real Estate, First Federal Bank and Trust, and ERA Carroll Realty. On your phone, on your computer, anywhere.
Remember when your mom used to say, "You don't want to open that can of worms"? Well, if you ignored her, you got a can opener, and now you have to use those worms before they spoil, then you need to remember that the Health Nuts Deli is still open and going. You can still get your favorite smoothie, wrap, sandwiches, homemade soup and salads to go, and bulk items are scooped and weighed for you. And Mom, canned worms are not all they're cracked up to be. The Health Nut in Sheridan's 5th Street Mall.
Sheridan Media wants to help you recognize high school graduates for all their accomplishments. Now through May 17th, call us at 307-429-0320, 429-0320. Leave your grad a 15-second voicemail. We'll replay it on all 10 Sheridan Media stations the week of May 18th.
Thanks in part to our partners Interior Images, Best Real Estate, and Alpha Graphics.
Call 429-0320.
Welcome back to this Monday edition of Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting, and I'm joined by Dixie Johnson, CEO of the Sheridan County Chamber of Commerce. And this morning, we're talking about the adversities that are faced by some of our local businesses here and the great ways that they've come up with them in the chamber, partnering with other organizations, coming up with various ways to keep business going right here in Sheridan County. Now, Dixie, one thing that I did want to discuss is the Sheridan Employee Relief Fund. Now, this could be a godsend for a lot of our business owners. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, Floyd, thanks for asking about that. The Sheridan Area Employee Relief Fund really was an effort made possible by some wonderful volunteers in the community, a few people who brought the idea to the chamber and asked about utilizing our Sheridan County Chamber of Commerce Foundation, which is a separate organization. It's a 501c3 organization. And so we were able to actually take kind of a template from another community and another chamber that had already set up an area employee relief fund. And this was early on. So this all started happening towards the end of March, and we were able to actually have the application up and start distributing funds early on in April. So April 6th, our application went live. We started accepting applications as well as donations. And, you know, really want to acknowledge, you know, our private donors, our private foundations that provided some funds, as well as businesses and many individuals. I think we have over 170 who have donated to the Sheridan Area Employee Relief Fund so far. And the whole purpose of that really was to provide some needed gap funding, you know, try to help our frontline workers who found themselves either without a job or facing other challenges, you know, requiring to be home with their young children who, you know, schools were closed or whatever, maybe meet some of those needs that they and have some get some necessities taken care of, you know, like food or gas or utilities or rent. And so we, to date, are excited to announce that donations received so far are $262,500. 580, and I believe we still have about 17,500 out there that have been pledged but not received yet. So that is in, that makes our total in excess of 280,000. And as of last week, Floyd, we distributed and dispersed over 163,000 throughout Sheridan County in over, I think, over 630 disbursements as of last week. So that was like a month's time, and so we really want to thank everybody for not only contributing, but also for applying. And we've heard back from so many people who have received some of those funds, how appreciative they really were to receive those, and that it's continuing. So as long as we have the funds available, we will continue. So I'd encourage people to go on our website, SheridanWyomingChamber.org, and if you know of somebody in need, have them apply. It's a quick application right there on our website.
Now, Dixie, let me make sure that I heard this right. $280,000 from people right here in Sheridan giving to their neighbors to make sure that we get through this together.
Absolutely. You know, and it is, again, there are a lot of programs out there. You and I just, you know, we just touched on the Paycheck Protection Program, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, unemployment, you know, and there are other lots and lots of really neat ways that we're seeing the support, you know, the support that's been given to our healthcare workers, the senior center, our teachers, the food group, and all of those are so needed. And this is just, again, another way to help support and reach some of those people who might have a hard time making ends meet. So initially, Floyd, we started out by providing checks and disbursements in the amount of $250. Because we've been so blessed to have the donations and the donations continue, we've increased that to $500. So anybody who wants to apply, again, they can go on our website and apply, or they can go on our website and donate. We're still receiving funds and definitely appreciate those.
Wow. And let's move on to the Live Life Local campaign.
Okay, so...
And I heard the Chamber's got a challenge there.
Well, we are. We're actually just going to be launching it this week, and we're going to be sending a media release out about it. But, you know, there's a lot around... you know, especially now, an awareness of why it's so important to really think and support our local economy and our local businesses and our local community. It really does mean, you know, jobs for our friends and our family and our neighbors. And so we are this week launching a Live Life Local campaign, and we're going to start out with a chamber challenge. And so we're putting together the final details on that chamber challenge today, and we'll be sending out a media release on that. So hopefully Sheridan Media will help us get the word out. But one of the goals is really to help our local business community. Many of who've been impacted, and as a Chamber of Commerce, as a catalyst for business prosperity and a champion for a stronger community, it's really one of our priorities is to do whatever we can to help our businesses you know, survive through this and then hopefully eventually thrive, you know, on the tail end of the pandemic. So anyway, stay tuned. There will be more information coming out on Live Life Local.
Well, that's fantastic. One of the industries that has been impacted pretty hard are our ag and natural resources. You have a chamber committee that focuses on that, correct?
We do, and we are going to have our next meeting. It'll be next week. And so, announce is that anybody who's interested in getting involved with our Ag and Natural Resources Committee, please reach out to us. Karen Myers here in my office is our staff liaison on that. Clark McClung is the chair of our Ag and Natural Resources Committee. And so we'll be having a meeting next Tuesday, May 19th. Just give us a call at 672-2485, and we'll visit with you about how you can get connected with that committee.
And how about the other committees? Do we actually have enough people sitting on those currently?
You know, we do, and we've been very blessed to have so many who not only believe in what the Chamber of Commerce does, but also they volunteer their time through our committees, our board of directors, et cetera. So tomorrow, our ambassadors committee, they will be meeting virtually. They have their meeting at 4 p.m. on the 12th. We also have our leadership Sheridan County committee, which will be meeting next Monday, May 18th. Our business retention and expansion committee, and I mentioned them earlier. earlier as I was talking about the Business Connect groups. They'll have their regular meeting on Thursday, May 28th at 8 a.m. And then our Government Affairs Committee will be meeting on Wednesday, May 27th at 7:30 a.m. And all of those will be hosted virtually. So there's an opportunity to join via Zoom or join via phone call. So, again, let us know if you're interested in getting connected. I know with Government Affairs, we're going to have a lot to talk about. Tomorrow, of course, there's the Wyoming Legislature's Management Council listening session, and then a special legislative session that will be taking place May 15th and 16th.
We all have a lot of work to do. And Dixie Johnson, I want to thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Floyd, thank you so much for having me on.
And we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I'll be speaking with the Sheridan Recreation District. This is Public Pulse on News Talk, 930 KROE and 103.9 FM.
Our doors may be closed, but Harker Mellinger is here for you. If your business has been affected by COVID-19, keep in mind that our professionals are here to help. We offer tax planning services, cash flow projections, and business consulting. Schedule a phone consultation today with me, Patrick Suker, and see how we can help. Harker Mellinger, CPAs, and a whole lot more. 672-0785.
We are all feeling the effects of the COVID lockdown. I'm Dr. Colin Hardy of Atlas Chiropractic. Mental emotional stress will often cause physical stress, resulting in neck pain, back pain, headaches, sleeplessness, and so on. Our team at Atlas Chiropractic would like to help you through these challenging times by offering a complete neurologic examination, consultation, x-rays, and first adjustment for just $35. From now until the end of June, new patients will qualify for our COVID stimulus package. Call Atlas Chiropractic today at 672-6000 to schedule your complete new patient appointment for only $35. That's 672-6000. Let us help relieve some of the physical stress caused by these challenging times. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone. 672-6000.
There's an old saying, people who live in stone houses shouldn't throw glasses. And the same goes for fixing or tuning up your four-wheeler, side-by-side, or motorcycle. And now, being all forted up in your house to keep from catching something is no excuse either, because Hando Service Center will come and get it, tune it up, fix what's broke, and bring it back again running like it's supposed to. By the way, Hando's great website is the perfect window shopping place for that four-wheeler head-for-the-hill solution to social distancing. It's easy to remember. HandoServiceCenter.com.
Moss Holders has reopened its 18,000 square foot showroom to the public. To celebrate for the month of May, Moss Holders is having an amazing sale. How amazing? All month long, every single item is on sale. In stock or special orders, even already clearance items. Absolutely everything qualifies for savings. We continue to disinfect regularly, maintain our distance, and offer pickups, but we are open once again, ready to serve you. Moss Holders thanks you for your patience. Moss Holders, furniture is our passion.
This history moment is brought to you by the relentless team at Century 21 BHJ Realty.
The past post office once served 150 people living in the northern Sheridan County area. The facility was established by Thurston W. Atkinson in 1888 on his homestead on Twin Creek. The past community existed until 1894 when the post office was moved 2.5 miles south to Parkman. Some of the buildings were moved, others torn down, and nothing remains of past today.
Century 21 BHJ Realty, a proud part of Sheridan's history.
Happy Monday and welcome back to the Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting. And typically we would be getting ready to load the family up and go out and enjoy some hot dogs and maybe some chips while we watch our favorite local baseball teams take to the field. And that landscape may have changed a little bit because it's no secret that COVID has definitely changed the way that we do some things that we once viewed as trivial. Joining me this morning for our second half of the show, we have Seth Ulvestad, director of the Sheridan Recreation District, and Zach Stewart and J.D. Williams, both recreation programs supervisors. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning. Now, Seth, as the weather improves and the sun eventually comes back out to stick around for a little while, kids are hoping to hit the pool. Kids are hoping to hit that ice cream stand. What is that going to look like for us this year?
So that's a good question. We're not exactly sure what Kendrick Poole is going to look like this summer. We're still waiting on some guidelines from the state. Right now, a lot of agencies are working on getting their indoor pools up and operating, but the outdoor pool will be a little different, and so we'll have to figure out what's the safest way to get that open. So we'd like to have public swim start in that early part of June, and we're going to push swim lessons back. If we are able to offer swim lessons this summer, we will not start offering those until July. But ideally, we'd like to get that pool up and running if it's safe, and we get the go-ahead in that early part of June.
And how about the concessions? Do we have guidelines that we can at least follow on that right now?
Yeah, so with the ice cream stand, we're still going to push the opening date back for that. Typically, we would open up yesterday, we'd open up Mother's Day weekend. But this year, we decided with everything going on that we're going to push that back. We'd like to get open that first part of June, hopefully June 1st. And then with that, we've taken some extra precautions with the ice cream stand. We're going to install a plexiglass screen for the servers, and then we'll make sure that that line there's notices to socially distance, stay 6 feet apart there in that line. Fortunately, it's in the park, so even if the line goes down to the bridge by the YMCA, we should be okay.
We have plenty of room to socially distance as we go get our ice cream, right?
Absolutely.
And how about some other educational programs that you guys are running? Have you sat down and had a meeting on how you guys would like to approach those for the summer? Have we reached that point?
Yeah, we have talked a little bit about that, and I think I'll let Zach and JD talk a little bit about how we like to operate some of our baseball programs. I can't say for myself, one of the programs I operate is the outdoor education program. And so myself and Jamie Shazitz in partnership with Bighorn Mountain Guides. And so with that, typically we take up a full van full, 14 kids, but we're going to limit that. So we're going to take 8 kids and 2 instructors, even if they do increase that 10-person limit this summer just with travel and everything. So we'd like to move forward with those outdoor ed programs, limit those numbers of kids that are able to go, but still ensure that we can take some groups up the mountain this summer and do some fun stuff up there.
Now, parents might be sitting around planning summer right now to the best of their ability. If I wanted to get my kid in one of those programs, what's the best way for me to do that right now?
There's 2 great ways to do that. You can call us down here at the office, or you can visit our website, SheridanRecreation.com, and we do have an online registration system that you can utilize to get signed up. And also, our website has all our updated dates for summer programming and things like that if you're just interested in trying to map out your summer a little bit before you get signed up.
And Zach, is there a high interest or some residents being a little more hesitant this year with adult baseball?
Yeah, so the adult softball, our numbers are probably about where they would be up until this point. We have our manager's meeting on Wednesday, and that's usually when we start getting our high number of volume of participants and teams. So I'll definitely get a good gauge of interest by the time the end of the week's up, and hopefully we still get enough teams where we can run a nice competitive league, and we expect numbers to be down just a little bit with everything going on, but so far we're about on average where we would be at up until this point.
Have you guys had meetings over what practice might look like this year? Are there going to be dramatic changes?
So that'd be for JD.
For youth baseball, we haven't exactly. We've seen what the American Legion, the state board, has kind of recommended in their first couple weeks of practice, and we're hoping to not have some of those restrictions. Once we get opened up to more than 10 people can be in a group, that practice should look more like it has in the past. But until then, we'll probably be a little restricted on what people can do, how many people can be in facilities at a time, and put in place time for people to get away from the facility before another group comes in, and so we can clean it and disinfect and do all the things.
And do you gentlemen think that at some point we may actually have an audience allowed to go out there and watch some of these games?
I think it's going to be it'll be some time before we're able to do that. I think with the restrictions on the number of people, say they increase it to 50 people that can be in one area, we're going to have to really utilize that number for players. And so I think, you know, especially through that first part of the season, that first part of June, you know, we probably will not have the big bleachers open. We will probably ask, you know, fans to not, you know, sit together, congregate together. And we'll kind of make more of a plan as we move forward and get more information here after the 15th and see what some of those restrictions are lifted. But it'll be a different kind of summer for spectators. And I know that'll be kind of hard for families and things like that. But I think for the most part, you know, they sign their kids up for them to go out and enjoy themselves. And I think that's the priority. And so we will do our best to make sure that parents can see some games, but I think we'll probably have to start off with a limited number of spectators, especially in one area.
And as far as the leagues this year, what are we thinking that those are going to look like? Are we also kind of just gauging to see interest, or are we planning on kids coming back out?
We're planning on kids coming out. Right now the numbers for our youth sports are down a little bit. People are just not ready to sign up until they kind of know what's going on. So we've got registration open. So pretty much the end of the month for baseball and softball will be opening today. So we're looking at getting started on that, start of June 1st and kind of see where we're at. But it makes it easier once we get the numbers of kids signed up so we can figure out teams and coaches and practice times and all that.
All right, it's time for yet another quick commercial break. We'll be right back with the Sheridan Recreation District. This is News Talk 930 KROE and 103.9 FM.
For the first time ever, Valley Motor Honda is offering an unprecedented 0% financing on all 2019 models and select 2020 models up to 60 months and no payment for 90 days. Unsure how to shop? Valley Motor Honda takes every precaution in safety, so you can either shop in person, knowing that strict guidelines for sanitation are enforced, or shop online with digital and phone transactions and have it delivered to you. Committed to our community, Valley Motor Honda, home of the best price promise.
It's important to have core values, so your decisions always align with what you stand for. At First Federal Bank and Trust, our core values are
responsibility,
to use our resources for the greater good,
teamwork,
to accomplish much more than we can individually,
and courage,
to do the right things. We're committed to these core values and how they can assist you with your personal and professional goals. Together, we can overcome and grow stronger.
First Federal Bank and Trust, celebrating 85 years of hometown banking, member FDIC.
Are you unemployed or desire work that's long-term, rewarding, and has great benefits? NSI Academy in Sheridan is hiring direct care staff for the Residential Treatment and Education Program. If you're compassionate, responsible, want to make a difference, this might be the right job for you. Pay is $12.75 to $17 per hour, depending on experience or education. A $500 to $1,000 sign-on bonus for new hires. Apply at SequelYouthServices.com or call Margaret at 675-4105.
We're your hometown hardware store and have been since 1892. Hi, Kurt Smith here for the Sheridan Commercial Company. Sheridan, thank you for your support. We sure appreciate all the kind words we have received from the community, and I want you to know that we are open and ready to get you outside to start your spring project. Whether it's lawn, garden, or a do-it-yourself project, we'll do everything we can to ensure that you have what you need. Thank you from the Sheridan Commercial Company at 303 Broadway. Open 7 days a week.
Hey Sheridan, did you know that May 16th is National Love a Tree Day? No, honestly, it is National Love a Tree Day, and we have a tree for you to plant and love. Join Sheridan Media and our partners Landon's Greenhouse, ERA Carroll Realty, and U.S. Bank as we celebrate this special day by handing out beautiful Japanese tree lilacs. Saturday, May 16th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the ERA and U.S. Bank parking lots. Just drive through the lot, stay in your car, and we'll hand you a free tree complete with planting instructions and a smile. It's easy, it's free, and it's going to be fun. And you can still social distance doing it. National Love a Tree Day, drive through, Saturday, May 16th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Compliments of ERA Carroll Realty, U.S. Bank, Landon's Greenhouse and Nursery, and your friends at Sheridan Media.
Welcome back to the Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting, and currently I'm speaking with Sheridan Recreation District, Seth Ulvestead, Director of the Sheridan Recreation District, and Zach Stewart and J.D. Williams, both Recreation Program Supervisors. Zach, one thing that I did want to ask, with tournaments in the adult softball field, are we going to be able to actually have any this year?
Yeah, so that's the hope. Right now we have a manager's meeting scheduled for Wednesday via Zoom, and if people are interested, they can give us a call or give me an email, and I can get everyone that information, the Zoom ID number and everything. And so there'll be a meeting at 6 o'clock and 6:45 for adult softball. So if people are interested, feel free to get a hold of us and get logged on to that. And with that, we're hoping to end registration on May 22nd, so we have a week to potentially build a schedule with the hope of starting on June 1st. And we're working with Sheridan College with getting the facilities ready and what they would like from us as well, getting that season prepped and ready to go. So the hope is to start the first week of June. It's normally a week to 2 weeks later than what we've been accustomed to, but a lot of the players are they know what's going on, and they're happy that we're able to push things back and hopefully still get a summer softball season this year.
Absolutely. I'm sure they're out there understanding that everything's got to be done very safely so that we can all go out there, participate, and enjoy without possibly taking any COVID home.
Yeah.
And J.D., what about expanding on the girls' softball teams? Have we looked into that for this year, or are we going to put that on hold?
It's not on hold. We're taking sign-ups starting this morning, and it'll run through, see what I got here, until about June 5th. So they're going to be staggered a little bit. They're going to be a week behind the baseball players, but this year we'll have to utilize the field if we can, where we have a softball night and we have a baseball night, as opposed to last year when we had two different seasons at two different times. So,
can you tell me a little bit about the expansion as we go forward? Have you experienced a lot of interest in that?
We did have, the ball was rolling on some more fast pitch, more girls involved. COVID's definitely put a little bit of a monkey wrench in it, but it seems like there are more girls interested, and with the move to fast pitch, it seems like a more exciting thing for some of the older girls to do. It's kind of fine for the first or third graders to do some of that slow pitch stuff, but once they start to get older, they're a little more interested in the ball moving a little bit faster.
And so we're talking all age ranges right here for the program.
First through eighth grade. Our first and third through third graders play a coach pitch T-ball kind of modification, and then our fourth through eighth graders in two separate leagues will play a regular fast pitch game.
Well, that sounds fantastic. And Seth, as we go forward, sticking with the kids, what about our youth running program? What's that going to look like this year?
Yeah, so I canceled the spring program with everything going on. And so moving forward, we'll have a fall cross-country program. And so that'll start at the end of August. I think we typically go somewhere around August 27th, right around the start of school through that last week of September. And so that's a great program. This will be, I think, my fifth or sixth year doing it, and we run twice a week, and then we culminate with a cross country race. But I'll put that off till the fall for that youth program, and then I'm hoping this summer we have an adult running program. We'd like to start meeting again once we can, and maybe doing some trail runs there. And that group's called the Penrose Pacers. I do have an email list for that we shoot out when we are able to meet. So I am hoping to get that back up and running.
And how would anybody join some of these programs? What's the best way for me to get my daughter into this expanding softball or join up on a team?
The best way to do that is go to SheridanRecreation.com, get her signed up. And then from there, we split those groups out based on age and school and ability and things like that, and then look for those volunteer coaches and then get them playing. But that the best way to, is either visit our website, and then if you have questions, give us a call. We're down here Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and we're all more than happy to answer any questions folks might have.
Seth, do you have any foresight at all on when we may actually have answers to our outdoor education programs, anything that will kick off or be held out for the year?
Yeah, so for our outdoor ed, we're looking to get started on, we have our first program starting in June, so we have our climbing camps starting in June, and give me 1 second here, and I can find that date. So our outdoor adventure camp, that first one up at Antelope Butte, that's going to start June 22nd, so we're pretty excited about that. Our first Fresh Air Friday day hike, that's June 19th. And for those, I feel like they're far enough out where it'll be I think we have a good chance of getting those rolling. I think a lot of the variances will be out from the state health department that will hopefully let us get rolling, especially with those programs that have smaller groups. It's not like you have two baseball teams or two softball teams playing. If I can take 8 kids out, I think we'll be within those guidelines and restrictions. And then our climbing camps, we're really fortunate to work with a great group in town, Bighorn Mountain Guides, owned by Nick Flores. And hence, that'll start June 8th, and we're hoping to go June 8th through the 17th. Same thing with a limited amount of kids. Take 8 kids and 2 guides, 2 certified guides. It's a really great group. They're American Mountain Guide certified to take kids out, Blaze certified, all that stuff. So we're really fortunate to be able to work with them.
Well, I hope by the time summer actually bothers to show up outside, all the variances have allowed us to get those going. That's all the time we're going to have for this Monday edition of Public Pulse. I want to thank my guests, Dixie Johnson from the Sheridan Chamber of Commerce, as well as Seth, Zach, and JD from the Sheridan County Recreation District. You're listening to News Talk, 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
The Hub on Smith reminds you that May is Older Americans Month. This year's chosen theme is Make Your Mark. It's a celebration of countless contributions older adults make to our community. As a senior, you are encouraged to share how you have used your time and talents to make a difference. Non-seniors, let us know how you have also affected the lives of older adults. Find a conversation starter in this week's Country Bounty or online at SheridanMedia.com. Sponsored in part by AARP.
Here's an idea. State Farm agent Ann Gardner challenges everyone to stretch their artistic muscles with art imitating art, featuring sculptures all around Sheridan. Legos, paint, clay, Minecraft, photography, you name it. Pick your sculpture and give us your interpretation. 3 winners will be chosen by the most votes. Great prizes from Sheridan Public Arts and Sage Art Gallery. See the sculptures and enter by clicking on the Art Imitating Art Contest at SheridanMedia.com. Presented by State Farm agent Ann Gardner.
This is Andy Ward, store manager. Brandy Dayton, service manager. Rhonda Sanburn, parts manager. We are the management team at CMB Operations, Sheridan's John Deere dealer. If there's anything we can do to help you with your farming, ranching, property, or home needs during these challenging times, stop by the store on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
We are a part of the local community and are here to take care of our customers and the people of our communities.
Also check us out online at DeereEquipment.com and our new CMB Central, where you can shop for your John Deere needs.
Well, it takes a mountain of post to build a mile of fence. If you're working on that mile of fence, Farmers Co-op has what you need to get it done. Treated wood posts, fence poles of all sizes, steel posts, and barbed wire field fence. Need panels and gates? Farmers Co-op has them, and a large selection of electric fence building supplies. Don't forget gloves, pliers, and a post driver. Find it all at Farmers Co-op, owned by those who serve at 1450 Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan.
Hey, Sheridan, did you know that May 16th is National Love a Tree Day? No, honestly, it is National Love a Tree Day, and we have a tree for you to plant and love. Join Sheridan Media and our partners, Landon's Greenhouse, ERA Carroll Realty, and U.S. Bank as we celebrate this special day by handing out beautiful Japanese tree lilacs. Saturday, May 16th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the ERA and U.S. Bank parking lots. Just drive through the lot, stay in your car, and we'll hand you a free tree complete with planting instructions and a smile. It's easy, it's free, and it's going to be fun. And you can still social distance doing it. National Love a Tree Day, drive-through, Saturday, May 16th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Compliments of ERA Carroll Realty, U.S. Bank, Landon's Greenhouse and Nursery, and your friends at Sheridan Media.
103.9 FM is News Talk 930 KROE Sheridan. K-R-O-E.